Are you familiar with her music, Yvonne?
No, I'm sorry.
You're fine. That's fine.
What is that?
Oh, what? You want to learn what copium is?
Yeah, Tosu, explain it. You're better at explaining.
No, please, Yvonne. No, go ahead. No. Please explain to Amberlee what copium is.
You are not putting yourself in the shoes of a regular. Well, you're like, I am at least aware.
Can you put them together in more podcasts? Yeah, this is great.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 19th ever Offline TV podcast. I am your host, Disguised Toast. We're joined by Yvonne. You need to say hi. You can't just wave, Yvonne. People are listening.
I forgot the podcast.
This girl just waved and did nothing else, and people were listening in their car and be like, what?
I'm sorry. Oh, hello. It's me, Yvonne, like you said.
This is why we don't invite you. And joining us today is Amber Liu, an OG from K-pop. I've heard her songs from many years ago.
Oh no.
ex-member of FX. Welcome.
Hi everybody. I'm Amber from K-pop days or new music or YouTube or wherever you find me. Hello.
Are you familiar with her music, Yvonne?
No, I'm sorry.
You're fine. That's fine.
But I met you at parties and you're so nice and you're great.
Oh, thank you.
You haven't heard Chocolate Love?
Oh, okay. No. Wait, hold on. Wait.
I haven't listened to a lot of like older K-pop in general, if that, like, or haven't. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what. Well, why are you looking at me like that?
No, I'm just curious about how much K-pop you know.
I'm super basic.
Mm-hmm.
Like Big Bang, Blackpink.
That's great.
BTS, yeah.
Yeah. So Amber, what have you been doing since your K-pop days?
I'm like an indie artist now, so I just do my own music. Did a couple concerts before COVID, and then went to China for about a year and did some stuff there, and I'm just like back and forth now, trying to just figure out where I am in the world and like on this, I don't know, I guess spiritual journey of like finding who I am. Mm-hmm. Always, I think. Mm-hmm. So, and now I'm here in LA at this house with many boxes downstairs that need to be organized.
You know what? In fact, maybe we'll save the boxes for you because she loves to break down boxes. But do you live in LA now?
I was in LA for about like 3 years, and then I recently moved to the OC.
Oh.
Which is very, very interesting. And I'm actually like kind of like, I grew up in the suburbs. And then I was like, you know what? I need to find the city life. I need to like be in with the crowd. And then I think just due to the pandemic and just save on rent, you know, I live with my roommate, Trisha Zaberti, who's an amazing chef. Oh my gosh. I live with a chef.
So lucky.
So lucky. Yes. And then, when I moved back to suburbs, I'm like, wait, I like this lifestyle. Mm. And I'm like, wait, I'm also pushing 30 now. So like a lot of health and a lot of like, oh, I need my own space. I'm not a kid anymore. I can't like go 72 hours with working and not feel any like backlash. Mm-hmm. But now it's just kind of like, okay, I can take it slow, or I'm trying to learn how to take it slow at least.
Pushing 30. How old are you?
I'm 29 now. 29. Turning 30 this year.
Okay.
Are we listing our ages?
It's all publicly available.
Fine, I know. People can just Google it.
Yeah. We're also really old.
Not really old. Just like, you know, about to reach like...
We're all in the same little circle.
Oh, Yvonne's going to be in her 30s. Ooh. Soon, right?
I'm already in my 30s.
Oh, what?
You're in your 30s. What do you mean?
30, not 30s. There's a big difference.
Huh? What's the difference between turning 30 and then being in your 30s?
Yeah.
Wow.
What the heck is a 30s? Oh, not 30 anymore, you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, when you hit 30, you still, you know, you're just at the very beginning. But once you're in your 30s, you could be like 31 or 39.
You know you're turning 31, right?
Yeah, this year, but I'm not 31 yet. Yeah, being old sucks. Is there anything you guys feel like you can't do anymore?
My metabolism slowed down a lot. Like, I eat a donut now and I feel like, like I gained the pound or whatever
it is. You feel bloated and you're just like groggy the whole day. I feel like after pulling like all night, I still have to pull all nighters sometimes for work. And then I'm just like, I feel like I have like a hangover, and then I can't function for like 2 days, and I have to like I don't know, just lay in bed and not move. But that's also hard too.
What about sugar? You guys can't handle like as high sugar content stuff, right? Like, no,
take that. I don't drink sugar anymore.
Yeah, but before I feel like you could drink 100% boba, like 100% sweetness boba or something, and then now it's like 20.
Like slightly sweet is actually just like the right amount. Yes. Now. Because I still intake a lot of sugar, and it's just like, because I have like these sugar crashes sometimes, and I just start like you get cold sweats and then you start shaking. I have that like at least now like twice a week, and I'm just like, wait, what's wrong with me?
Is it from like coffee, like sugary things?
I think it's just like with like filming and like going to the studio and doing all these things back and forth, I don't have a consistent eating schedule.
Oh.
So sometimes I even forget to eat, but I've been better about it now, and it's been a little bit less, but it's just like, wow, like I'm not 20 anymore.
That's how you know you're getting old, when you can't take as much sugar as you used to. You can't pull the all-nighters that you used to.
Yvonne, you still pull all-nighters, bro.
I do not.
You go out every night drinking.
No, I don't.
What are you doing, Yvonne?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
What are you doing at night?
Did you meet Amber at a party? You just said that.
I know, but like,
what party was that?
Okay, there was one. It was like an envy party, and then the other one was the 100
Oh, multiple parties, huh?
two parties. That's it.
I always recognize her because she always has the little hair thing on your head, and you always have something. Like a mask, and you're just like,
oh shoot, I had this on. I was supposed to take it off.
You wear those to parties?
No, not this. It's clips. It's and clips? Other things. Yeah, okay. See, yeah,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah. See, yeah.
So something nice and pink in her hair.
Yeah.
Did you introduce yourself to her, or did she? How did you guys meet?
We think we just like kind of passed by each other.
Yeah, I want to say we were like standing in line for something, or we were like next to each other, and then we said hi.
Just randomly?
Yeah.
Oh, huh? Danny, or I think Danny, Nutricia, and then everyone was talking. Group,
and then we all kind of just
then,
like,
yes, and then we all like talked. And
I always kind of feel out of place when I'm at those parties because I don't really know people. Yeah, and I'm just like, I'm just here.
Didn't know many of the people there either.
Do people know you though?
No, I don't think so. Like, I
think you put some respect on Amber Liu's name.
Okay, it's just esports, but we're at a music industry party. Completely
it's
different.
Fine.
I would be the one who like, damn, I don't know anyone here. But even at the envy party, I still didn't know. Yeah. Actually, I didn't know like any of the people there. Almost, maybe
I think
like 10%.
Now that like I like know like. I went to a couple. I'm like, I see the same faces. I'm like, okay. Like, I have a couple friends that I do know, so I just like kind of stick with them. And then they introduce me to their friends. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. And then we just like play like basketball. They have like a basketball thing at the Envy House. Oh, so fun! Gosh, just like throw basketballs at it.
It's always cool to see like celebrities from other industry like get into esports, but sometimes like esports people don't know who they are, so they treat them like very normal. Mm-hmm. Lead man, I think one of the lead men from Linkin Park was at an Arcane event. He was just walking around, and he got interviewed by a Riot interviewer, and she had no idea who he was. He's like, "Hey, so you're enjoying the party? So what are you here for?" And you can tell like he was trying to be nice about it, but it's like, damn, that's the guy from Linkin Park.
It's like, you don't, yeah. That's
well, a little... I think it's actually kind of funny because being on both sides, like I would understand like, oh man, like it's Linkin Park, like how could you not know? But then I think it's like, I think for me on like sometimes on the receiving end, I actually kind of like it.
Yeah.
Because you kind of actually see how people are because I think... I was like like thinking about this for the past like couple months. Like all I know is the industry, and this is what I grew up in. And it's like people only know me as FX Amber or like the musician or somebody on like YouTube or something. Mm-hmm. But like I don't know like if you actually like me or want to talk to me because I'm me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like hard to like filter through that. And then I'm like, I've, you know, we've gone through people who've like used us or, you know, backstabbed us or something, but then it's nice to like have that change. Like, oh, you didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. That's actually kind of nice.
I 100% vibe with that so much. I actually like don't really enjoy going to esports parties as much anymore. And actually very much like going to like random place in like random parties elsewhere or like going out in like LA and stuff, because it's just so refreshing when you just meet someone and if they don't know you, you kind of like have like, I don't know, you just meet everyone for the first time. Yeah. You ask stuff about each other, like, what do you do? And like they don't know what you do and you don't know what they do. And it's just like a, I don't know. Isn't it just feels more normal?
I don't like meeting normal people as much these days, but I do like meeting people who are like excellent in their field that might not know as much about me.
Yeah.
But I'm very bad at talking to people. Mm-hmm. So it always helps me to know that they know who I am. It's like, oh, they know I'm cool. Like,
oh, I see.
Because it's like, it's really difficult for me to just approach someone and be like, yo, my name is Jeremy, or like, my name is Toast. But it's like, oh, you know who I am? That means you think you should have some awareness of how cool I am. Okay. So now I can talk to you.
They're not gonna, I like him. He's funny.
I hate him.
It's mostly a me thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, it is like that kind of like social awkwardness that like, I think people always mistake me for an extrovert because I'm just like, hi, nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. But it's actually like, I'm super tired all the time. I'm just like, I don't want to meet people. I go out to those parties to kind of like, I've been in the house too long, where I've just been in a studio and just not moving anywhere. So I'm like trying to force myself to like, okay, there's an outside world. It's okay just to like peek in, be there for a little bit, and then just recede back into my little cave. But I think it's like trained in me to like, okay, this is awkward. So, hi.
You gotta like try to make it unawkward and just be like, make it as normal as possible. And then you just have to power through it and hope it does come off that way.
Yeah. Cause it's just like, I don't know what to say either. And I still have that. It's just like, I'm on a podcast. Too. Okay. I just have to talk. But I think this is like, I've done a couple podcasts now. I'm just kind of like, okay, I just talk and awkward and.
Are we in one of those right now? This is happening right now.
This is actually very smooth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're very chill here. We don't have any rules.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a bad thing because people say things they shouldn't and we have to tell the editors to cut everything out.
No, but that's fine. If you want to say anything, get it out now and we'll just say, hey, cut it.
Yeah. We had a few episodes where we're like, God, we got to cut this back.
Bleep it out. Cut it all. All right. All the people that you've met at parties that you hated, drop them now.
Great.
Because I'm sure being a K-pop star like in the early 2000s is very different. Is it different or is it the same compared to now? Because we've had Alexa on and she's more of a new K-pop star. We had Jay on, who's kind of like been a K-pop star and it's
he's like in between. I think like now, you guys went from Alexa to Jay and then now to me. That's kind of like the transition of the generations. Because like when I talk to my seniors in the industry, like their world was way more different too. And like, all I can hope is that the K-pop industry is changing and is better for good. But I haven't been in it either for the past couple of years. And
what was it like back then?
Yeah.
I'm feeling so old saying all this, but like, I'm going to feel really old saying all this, but like, it's like before the internet actually took off and like it was actually a thing. So we were in that phase of like, oh, YouTube is like a place to put your music videos and it gets millions and millions of views. And then, oh, Twitter's a thing. And then Instagram. And it was that time of when all these social media platforms and like the internet started becoming more involved in the, like, I guess the growth K-pop has come to today. And I remember like, we were very much discouraged not to have a Twitter or an Instagram or, you know, anything of that. And like, it's now written into contracts now. Like back then it was, I don't know, actually I haven't seen a contract now, but I heard that it was written into contracts.
That you have to have.
Like that, like social media or something is with like the company or by you, like those things are now defined.
Oh, wow.
So, I think, the one interesting thing was when I came to the States, like everything's now about Spotify and streaming and like but with K-pop, music streaming was already a big thing. And it was always pushed like that, so it's just kind of funny to see like, oh, how different but similar but also extremely extremely different everything is. I think at the time when K-pop, when I was in it, it's still very traditional. You go onto the TV stations, you do your like normal, it's like the hell week pretty much. When you're promoting an album, you on average would go on like three to four like shows on the weekend, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay. And we would be obviously training and like practicing like crazy for those performances. It's you have something called like a pre-recording usually. It's, if you were the first one in the slot to pre-record, you would be getting up at 3 a.m., going to the salon, getting ready, get there by 5, do some rehearsals, and then go straight into shooting. And then when you're done, you're like maybe 9, 10 a.m., and then you would go into interviews, and then you would go to other radio stations, and then you would come back, and then you still would have to go on to the actual broadcast, live broadcast of the show, and then repeat that 4 or 5 times. Like back to back, and then you would have maybe like 2 days of like rest, but we're practicing or going on other shows. And then so like I think back then like the promotional period was like average 2 months, so you'd be 2 months of constantly just waking up really early. It would get better as we went. We would just, instead of getting like 2 hours of sleep, we would get like 4.
Oh wow, the extra 2 hours. How lucky.
But I think I want to assume that I think some of it is still similar. I just think that maybe the promotional periods are a lot shorter now. Mm-hmm. Because I think with the internet, there's a lot more outlets to promote on. Mm-hmm. I hope that artists now are being taken care of a little bit. I'm biased. Like, you know, one thing I always wanted was, I think, a little bit more rest. Mm-hmm. Plus, like, you know, we're kids. Like, my youngest member was 14. I was 16 at the time when I was working. Okay. I think there's more of an awareness now. Like, mental mm-hmm. health is starting to become something. And that's something I like to talk about a lot. Because I think it's very much like, okay, working, it's like, it's an honor to work. I need to work. And then this toxic, like, you know, grind culture that, like, yeah. I think is also embedded in me. I'm like, I still see that a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I felt guilty yesterday that I couldn't finish a song. And I was like, oh, I shouldn't be, like finishing these things and working hard. But I think it's now slowly becoming a conversation. And, yeah. But back then, it was just, you know, work. Go do things. Go to shoot this. You should be thankful you have an opportunity and a job, so keep working. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think my mindset's evolved now to, it's like, you know, well, number one, if I'm not healthy and if I can't function, how can I work? Number two is like, how do I go at my own pace? So I'm trying to find my own pace. Though I loved everything I did in my group, I think it was still like, I think as an artist and what I wanted to do, I think there was more for me to experience and explore. So that's why I ended up leaving the label, so that, you know, I want to just create stuff, mm-hmm. you know, I want to have the freedom to say like, oh, I want to stream on Twitch, because mm-hmm. I kind of just want to try it and I like playing games. So, you know, why not just chill with chat and do stuff? And, you know, I just kind of wanted to just experience life. So yeah, that's pretty much how everything's been.
I think that's healthier. Like, you can always start off with something and then you've tried it and you see what it's like. And then you realize maybe as time goes on, you learn about what you want, what you don't want, what you like, yeah. what you don't like. So it's natural to kind of want to leave or maybe try to explore other things so mm-hmm. you could just learn more about yourself. And it sounds like you like what you're doing now, right? And everything. Yeah.
I saw a really cute puppy here. I'm gonna take
now
that.
You're like,
puppy.
I want that. I want the dog.
Yeah, there's definitely a trend of music and streaming I've been noticing these days. Mm-hmm. Like, Jay starting to streaming, Keshi played Valorant with us, T-Pain just yeah. streaming so much games on his own for fun. And what has your experience been like streaming on Twitch?
It's fun. Like, I think my community and I just have like a lot of fun inside jokes, and it's basically mostly them trolling me the whole time, because why not? And we're just having fun. Like, I would never thought I would have done a drunk stream ever, and mm-hmm. I've done a couple. I'm like, oh, this is like interesting how like people are down to just watch me like play games, because like, you know, growing up, don't play games. It's not, you know, it's not a career.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. guess what, mom?
That's what I'm saying. You said this is time away from school. Well, yeah. guess what?
And like even in the industry too, like when I was still like promoting and stuff, I heard things that like, you know, like gaming's not something that you should be, it's like it's looked down upon, right? But now it's just like, why not just like, can I cuss?
Yeah.
No, why not just fucking do it? So like I think I've been like realizing that, like, I think when I was in K-pop, I was always trying to be this person or like conform to an image that, you know, so-and-so or who and who like wanted me to be. But now it's like, I can really actually be myself. And on Twitch too, it's like, cause it's live. You're just with the camera and there's people watching you on the video. And it's like kind of nerve-wracking at sometimes, but I'm just like, wait, a couple hundred people were watching me build a Lego. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's becoming like, oh, like I watch your streams because it's peaceful, right? And like I don't feel, I'm like, oh, that's actually really interesting. And I thought how like, oh wait, my roommate used to play Breath of the Wild all the time. I used to just sit and watch him. I'm like, ah. So it's kind of like similar in those ways, and it's really nice to kind of connect those dots sometimes. Mm-hmm. and just nice to you know, just do something and then people just vibe with you and just are in chat, like, you know, saying things like, I recently learned what Manka S was.
I had to teach my friends what Bing Chillin and Copium and like all these other terms are. Like, how do I explain to like a normal person?
What is that?
Oh, you want to learn what Copium is?
Yeah, I actually kind of do.
You're better at explaining.
No, please, your mom. Go ahead. No. Please explain to Amberly what Copium is.
Okay, well, you know what? Opium? Yeah. Is that opium thing? Is it from opium, right?
Yeah opium. Yeah, okay, yeah, cool. Keep going.
You know, people used to smoke opium. Well, like now it's like...
Yeah, people used to smoke opium.
Okay, yes. Okay, well, copium is just like, you know, you're trying to... you're telling yourself sort of lies or like other things and you just try to cope with it. It's kind of like, oh yeah, I'm going to go to the gym... like 2 days for sure. I'm gonna go to the gym tomorrow for sure, but you know you're not gonna go. So it's like, but it's like, or like, yeah, no, that would be interesting. Can you explain it?
No, I think you did it.
I had another one of my streamer friends like explain to me what down bad meant, and I was like, what is down? I always see that in your stream title. What does that mean? And he explained it. I was like, ah, cool. I always kind of feel like I'm like behind. Is this what growing up is? Just mm-hmm. like kind of getting older, you just can't keep up with what people are saying. And then like what? People clap?
There's a lot of people clap. People G.
Oh, yeah. People run. I like that one. Oh, I like people riot.
Oh, what? That's a thing too?
Stick up a torch. Oh. And people like going like, men, people riot. And just do that.
She has no idea what she's talking about. She's laughing to me next to the record. You're stalking us.
I'm laughing at the fact that she's like struggling and like trying to figure it out.
I'm explaining things. I'm sorry. When things go through me, they're just worse. Like if you try to explain a funny story or a scenario or something, someone else explain it. That's why I said you explain it. Look at what.
Watching you go through it is entertaining.
But yeah, there's a lot of most like Manka S. So Manka S, I would say, is relevant from about 4 years ago.
Oh, so
you're about 4 years behind.
Okay,
right?
Got it.
If you want to keep up, though, you can go on TikTok. TikTok is great for keeping up.
Are you familiar with TikTok?
Yes, I am. Yeah. But there was what was that one term? It was like something's like really good. It's like,
bussin'.
There we go.
That should bussin'.
I didn't know what that meant. Yeah. And then I was like, what are all these terms now? It's like, even on TikTok, I can't keep up. And they're like, Amber, you've been on TikTok for so long. How could you not know? I'm like, because I don't know. All my feed is puppies and like cleaning and organization on TikToks.
You have an actual human feed.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are like, where they have all the people who are down bad or have all these terms that they use. No, kizzy, mid, whatever it is. Yeah. You know mid?
No, what's mid?
I don't even know if I can explain it properly. I feel like people say like, oh, Attack on Titan is just mid. Like they just say it's like eh, or like
so, yeah, it's like middling?
Like average or eh. Average. I don't just even know mid. If I'm right on that. I just hear them say it and I just think like that must be what it means.
Who's saying these things to you, Yuval? Who have you been hanging out with?
TikTok.
You've been hanging out with TikTok?
I've been hanging out with TikTok. What? At least an hour a day. No, not an hour a day. Sometimes.
Sometimes more.
Who do you usually hang out with? Do you hang out with more like esports people today, music people, Asian people? Because like there's an Asian community in the LA area, and everyone kind of knows each other. Is what I'm slowly realizing. We went to like an Asian party. The
premiere.
Not that one. The award one.
Oh, Unforgettable Gala.
Oh yeah, I haven't been there since 2018. Actually, wait.
Oh, so you've been going?
No, I went. I performed there like a couple years ago, like before COVID hit.
Okay.
So I was like, I haven't been back in the States in a while too. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of like, well, like everything's kind of like, I just remember COVID times, which was stay inside and have like a drink and chill and just kind of stay safe. But like, everything's really opening back. Oh, that's crazy. Oh,
yeah, everything.
Yeah. Everything. It's COVID doesn't really exist in America anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Omicron that just like spread throughout Christmas and like so many people got it. And then after that, for some reason, I felt like after that, people were just like, oh, well.
Yeah, in the past, I feel awkward not wearing a mask. Now I feel awkward wearing a mask.
Yeah,
I love wearing a mask, though. I love it. I always feel naked without it. Like, I just...
I like it when I feel really insecure and then people don't have to see my face.
Yeah. I like that, too. It's like, I don't have to have the pressure of, like, when I get kind of stressed when I go to, like, H Mart or, like, any Asian market because, you know, that's usually where I do get the most like recognized, but then I put the mask on, no one knows.
And you don't have to put makeup, you don't have to do anything. You're like, no one will judge me for
which ramen
I'm like, huh, she's getting the 99 cent ramen instead of the.
I love my deals.
Yeah,
I love the deals.
Buy one, get one free.
Exactly.
How often would you say you get recognized?
I think if I, well, if I leave the house, so I think like it's still pretty much daily, but I think if, well, if I don't leave, then I just, it's just me and my doggo. So
your dog recognizes you.
My dog recognizes me, but it's very interesting. Like the time, because like it's usually a kid or it's an adult and it's like, my daughter loves you. Like, oh, mommy, this is the character. Like, how do you know who I am?
That's actually pretty funny.
Because I was like, I guess like I was relevant like probably like maybe like 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So like it's interesting how people like, oh yeah, like we came across like the FX thing, like, and like, oh, we found out about FX like 2 years ago. I'm like, what? Like how?
They're going down the rabbit hole. The YouTube rabbit hole.
I'm more surprised when people don't know really much about my group, but they know me. Mm. And I'm like, wait, what? They're like, yeah, we watched your, like, I had a viral video called Where's My Chest at one point. And it's like me responding to hate comments and because I'm flat, you know, and aerodynamic is like one relatable of the inside jokes I have with my roommate. And it's like, I'm just like, yeah, like they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, that video was so funny. I'm like, oh, I forgot I even uploaded that. But it's interesting like how people, like over the years I've just been like putting out content and just like at one point I was vlogging a lot and then I was writing skits and then I was doing like these like parody things and then obviously doing things with my group and then doing my solo stuff. So it's kind of like interesting how like even though I haven't really put out that much in the past couple years, it's still like people are just finding out about me now and then they're like, my whole family watches you, or you know, they like, I think before COVID hit I was doing my tour and then on the VIP lines where they can like meet me, like the whole family was the mom, dad, the two kids,
oh my god,
the aunt and the uncle. I was like I was like, my content is sometimes not child safe. But thank you. So it's interesting.
What platform do you like the most, like out of everything, and like what content did you like doing out of like vlogs or like other things?
Well,
too?
I think when I started, I think it was, I got Twitter first, but I didn't really get it. I just would like say random things. This was like 2012 maybe. But then I think I really liked Instagram, and then I just like upload memes sometimes. And then I think when Instagram got the video feature, I didn't like Vine that I still watched Vine, but I didn't want to make vines, but I made like little, basically what TikToks are now. And then I think I started getting into directing, so I started going more into YouTube. And then I was using like my vlogs as like a practice for editing and like just like, you know, thinking of different concepts. And then I started like, okay, mashing like my music video stuff with my vlog stuff. Like, okay, how can I like actually make a story within my own like music videos instead of just doing glam shot, lip sync, flashy lights, you know, things like that. And then I think I just got into like, I think a couple of my friends and I, we made some parodies. We did like Bacon Love, which was BTS's fake love, Bacon Love.
Wait, I need to see that one. Link me that one.
My friend doesn't speak any Korean, so when he heard fake love, he heard bacon love. So I was like, oh, like, let's write something to that. And then we just kind of like, I don't know. It's like that whole era of just like my friends and I just doing whatever on YouTube. And at that time, like I was, I couldn't really release music. So I was just, you know, video content. How about just make vlogs? And sometimes people, I like watching react videos. So I was like, how about I make a reaction of mine? So it's just like trying out different things. And then it just got busy with other work. And then I think just went back into music and then did touring and then went back. And I did acting for a little bit. And then, you know, so it's just like kind of like my life just been everywhere. But I'm like learning to just kind of like, wait, I did a lot of shit. So it's like, and then, cause I've always like felt like, you know, I don't know if you guys relate with this, but it's like you're your own biggest critic. It's like, oh, I have to put out more content. I have to, oh man, I missed the deadline. Oh, this vlog didn't, the numbers didn't do as well or something. Or like, oh, this song just like, ah, why did I release it? Now it's just kind of like, I'm habitually repeating to myself every day, like, I did a lot of stuff. I should be proud of that. And that's something that I've been really working on. Like when I'm going to therapy and just trying to like figure out my life, because I think it's like, I think I've been on the run for so long and I've just been flying from place to place and just kind of like not having like stability in like at least in my personal life, that I don't know if I can now keep doing that grind life that I used to. But yeah, just I think kind of returning to, okay, people might not know who I am. That's fine. I'm cool with that. That's actually really nice. Like I got a clean slate now. And then what do I enjoy? So I was like, oh, I like Twitch. Twitch is fun. That's why I kind of like went back to it. I was like, you know, I really like Twitch. I like the community. I love playing Kirby. Oh my gosh. Have you played the new Kirby game?
I have not tried.
Please play it. It is so amazing. I will Venmo you back your money. I told this to another one of my friends. If you don't like the game, I will Venmo you your money. My God. But I love the new Kirby game. And it's just kind of like, I've been always like reminding myself of like, okay, this childlike wonder of like, okay, I like dancing. So what did I like about it? Other than just like, you know, going on stage and performing for people, how do I make that mine? You know, how do I make singing mine? Because I'm always singing and I'm always doing things for, like, yeah, I'm doing it for my album and I liked writing it, but I think when it came time to perform these things or like, you know, like track it for the album, it's like, it's not for me. It's like, ah, time crunch. You got to keep going. And it's just kind of like nonstop. But now it's like, okay, if I'm going to sing this, I want to sing this for myself. I want to dance this. I don't need to film it. I don't need to show anybody. I just want to do this for me and, you know, and be proud of that, you know, and own up to it too.
Do you think it's easy to fall into very similar formulas as what other people do? Like you've seen how people promote, how people do their dancing or singing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's because like, I think right now with the internet, everything just moves so fast. Like I think back then, like records when they were dropped, like you have like maybe 3 to 5 years to promote one album. Now it's like, it's all singles. It's like you have to drop one song. Okay, it doesn't hit. Next one. So, and I was actually having this really interesting conversation with another friend of mine. It's like, how do we view music? Because you can't make music like streaming one song is like 0.001 cent. You know, and it's like, how do you make money off of music? So you have to supplement to going to merch, or if you can get on a tour touring. But you know, there's expenses that go behind all that as well. Streaming's also been another source of income for me as well. So like, how do we function when we can't make money off of music directly? So it's always like, I think it's always about adapting, because kind of like a decade ago when the internet was a thing, everybody was adapting to that. So it's all about adaptation. And it's, I think the speed of how things go now is still actually pretty, like, it's overwhelming for me. And I think a lot of my other friends and I think other people in the world can understand that too. But I think it's always a reminder just to, like, you can only go at your own pace sometimes. And it is tempting to always be like, okay, I can be like that person. But it's like, I think it's okay to be inspired. And, you know, marketing is, I don't know, when I talk with my marketing directors, there's like, it's the same. It's just, you know, with different outlets. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the general gist is the same. But I think what people are liking is different. Mm. And I think that's always changing.
Yeah.
So, I think as like someone who creates content, it's like, well, do I just go with what everybody else is doing, or do I, like, it's hard to like stay true to yourself. And that's why I think the temptation comes from. Mm-hmm. But I think now it's, I don't think anybody has the answer, but it's always like, kind of, how would you do it for yourself? And like, is it genuine to you? Mm-hmm. I think the first step, the steps after that, I do not know.
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing this for how many years? Like 15 plus?
Almost 15 now.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I always forget that too.
Yeah, like just being entertainment for 15 years, you...
That's half your life.
Like, you've seen everything, right?
Literally half.
I'm pushing 30 now. So it's officially half my life.
Yeah. It's like, it must be exhausting because I've been like streaming on and off for like 6-7 years, mm-hmm. and I'm already getting like to that point where I'm mm-hmm. like, do I really want to be streaming every single day?
Yeah.
Like, I'm reaching the end of my grind motivation, and it sounds like you've been like grinding for the first 10-ish years, and now it's like, when you're not grinding, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, I have that feeling like, what do I want to do? And it's kind of like an identity crisis almost.
Yeah.
Like, I can do anything, but now that I'm not doing anything, I have all this free time, but nothing to put it towards, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Do you feel like, because I felt like this with my vlogs, and when I was vlogging, like, people were interested in it. Like, numbers were, you know, great, and it was exciting. And then that video, Where's My Chest, got viral, and then I stopped. And it's like, I had to stop because I was burnt out. Mm-hmm. I was not only like going to studio and shooting a movie and like just going through a whole bunch of personal stuff. Like, I can't, it was a one man team. I'm writing a script. Mm-hmm. I'm shooting everything. I'm editing everything. And then if I have to get some help, I have to like coordinate that as well. And then, I always felt like there's so many missed opportunities, but I was like, but then again, I was going crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like something, I've always struggled with, is that, why didn't I just push through a little bit more? Why didn't I capitalize on everything? Mm-hmm. But then I kind of have to like kind of accept that I couldn't, I actually physically couldn't, I mentally, I couldn't. And I think it's also, looking back on it now, like, it was for a reason that like I had to focus on my health, bring more attention to like, you know, the priorities in my life, like, you know, going home and like spend time with my family and my friends, and like maybe just not work for a bit. I'm still really bad at that though. But I don't know if that's like for you, Toast.
Yeah, something similar, because I feel like in the streaming industry, one of the downside is you can always be streaming. You can always be making content. Like, with other jobs, it's like, well, once your 9-to-5 is done, you can't really like keep working. Yeah. But streaming is one of those industries where it's like, you could turn on your stream right now. Like, if you're not doing anything, you can turn your stream on right now. And a lot of streamers have that guilt. It's like, well, I'm not doing anything. Like,
might as well.
It's like, it's not going to, streaming is not going to last forever. Like, everyone's numbers are constantly going up and down. But,
oh, that red dot is so addicting to look at. And it's also like, it's like, ooh, it's like a big, like adrenaline boost, or it's like a huge, like, oh, it's, oh, the numbers are going down. Why? Like, what did I say?
Do you have your viewer count on?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, I have mine too, but.
You guys are crazy.
My mental doesn't fluctuate too much from it, but.
I'm a little, is it a sadist? Was it when sadistic. You, sadistic is like, I actually like use that now to like actually try to control myself. Like I'm actually, so I'm like, okay. I'm thankful for the 150 people that are watching, right? And I started doing that in my head. When I see it and I saw it drop, I'm like, you know what? I'm still thankful for those people that stayed. Oh, I'm thankful for those people that are here now. Or like, I'm thankful that these people like, you know, came and just came in randomly. You know, I think it's like a, I don't know, I'm a little sadistic. It's just like, I'm using it as a mental training thing of like, I'm really thankful. Like I'm trying to like, not view myself as a number anymore. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a positive way to look at it.
You're just a higher being.
Yeah. All I can focus on is like 20% less or like 30% less. Like, yeah. That's why I have mine turned off because it's like almost no good emotion is going to come from looking at that number unless it's like really higher than what you expected. But yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. I'm surprised you leave it on.
I mean, I leave it on because like, well, even if I have like less viewers that day, I just think, wow, like, it's still like this amount of people that actually like are that dedicated for some reason who would still, even though all these other people are streaming, because sometimes your numbers drop of like a lot of people streaming. Yeah. I'm like, oh, like that's a positive side to it. Or it's copium. I don't know. But either way, you know, copium.
It's streaming is very different because it's like your worth is just displayed to you on a number. And
it's so extreme too.
Yeah, it's up and down. Like sometimes with streaming, it's gonna be low no matter what you do because it's on a weekday or there's just not too much people watching. Mm-hmm. But a lot of our streamer friends can't help but feel like they did something wrong. Like my numbers is low like this week. Like I'm screwing up. Like I'm worthless. I'm not funny. And yeah, mentally, it's pretty taxing.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
I think like even for me on set, like the camera's only rolling for like maybe like 30 seconds at a time or at most like the 3 minutes of the song or however long the scene is. And then it cuts and then you're able just to kind of like take a breather and reset a little bit. Like that's stressful and exhausting enough, but like being on camera for hours, even if you're just like, I don't know, do you kind of feel the camera being on and just like it's in your face kind of thing?
At times, right? But it's just definitely streaming off cam is completely different. It does feel a lot nicer, but at the same time you feel like it's not the same for your audience. Yeah. So it feels bad to also stream with no cam. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but cams, I think it's more of like a mood thing. Sometimes if you are in a great mood or if you don't mind at all, it feels great. But if you're in the worst mood, it feels like the camera is so daunting and you don't want it to be there.
I can't imagine like I did one subathon and it lasted I think like 17 hours. So I was like, I was very happy. I was like happy to like end stream, but I was like, I've seen subathons that like gone on for like weeks. I'm just like, how?
Like I've been in a music video once and that one felt it was like 12 hours for like a 2 second shot. Just being on set, and I can't imagine like being the main person in a music video, just being on set. Is it a lot of waiting around?
Yeah. So it's because something always goes wrong on set. So one thing that I've learned coming to the States is in Asia, there is no end time. You end when the project is done and shot. So it was very, very normal for us to be on set for like 3 days.
Oh my God.
And then we would just sleep in the car or just like drive back home, wash up, come back out straight away. Mm-hmm. But in the States, like, you know, laws don't let you pass. They'll let you go past 12 hours. So I'm like, how do you shoot a music video in 12 hours? So it's a lot of like learning on my end, like, oh. And when I started directing them with my friends, I was like, oh, okay, now I've learned about production and how things work. Okay, it's either route one where we can make it super dope, but it'll cost $10,000, or you can take it out, it'll save 3 hours and you won't have to spend $10,000. And I'm like, but it's so cool. And then because you add time, okay, then you have to pay overtime or people aren't just gonna be happy. So it's like a very much like, experience every, like, not every person's role on set, but a lot of the roles on set, I'm just like, I'm very humbled by it, because I used to just be all like, wow, why is the next shot taking so long? Oh, I'm so tired. Mm-hmm. When is this going to end? Like, you know, I would just be in my head of like, oh, this is just, this is a waste of my time. Mm-hmm. But then I think I remember one day it was on the music video for, I think, Pinocchio, which was one of my group songs. And then they had like a set with this spiral thingamabob. It's an interesting set, but it was like a spiral thingy that they created, and it just kind of I'm dancing in front of it, but then when I actually was like looking around, I'm like, oh wow. And then they had to like all the small details that go into production are insane. And so I was just like, well, that's a lot. I have a lot of respect for those people. And I'm like, okay, I shouldn't complain. I'm just gonna be patient and just wait it out, because everybody's working hard. So there's no point in me complaining and making things worse for everybody.
Sounds like it's better to be like a director in Asia, because mm-hmm. you can just do whatever you want, and better to be like a talent in North America.
Yeah,
because you have rules protecting you.
Yes.
And with the director, I feel like when I talk to directors in North America, it's like they definitely want to wrap things up real quick, because yeah. once it goes past that 12-hour mark, they certainly have to like pay a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's just like a double-edged sword sometimes, because like mm-hmm. Some of my projects that aren't union or that like don't need to go by those rules, like, you know, it's just me and my friends with camera and we're just running around. Mm-hmm. Like it's actually nice. Like mm-hmm. because we get to, I've only grown up on professional, like $100,000-$200,000 sets. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, okay, how about we shoot something very simple? Like that's all I want, is something simple. It doesn't matter about the money. I just don't need to have all this flashy shit everywhere. Mm-hmm. So how do we do this? And we would just run and gun and just like try different things. And I think that part of experimenting and like, you know, even though it is long hours, like I think we're having fun doing it, which is, you know, the other side. And I'm like, again, learning everything in reverse. So it's like, ah, okay, that makes sense. Okay, this is the reason why that doesn't work. And then when I'm in, like, I'm very blessed to have both experiences, both in the Eastern and Western markets, just because I think there's like a self-discipline that I learned very much there, like the working hard. Okay, but I also, like, I think transitioning here, it's like I learned the efficiency of like, okay, this is what we have to get this done in 12 hours. Sometimes the video just doesn't get shot and doesn't get finished. So how do I marry these two worlds together, both mm-hmm. of my experiences together, mm-hmm. and like find an efficiency where hopefully I can get the shots finished before the 12-hour period ends and also make everybody happy. Mm-hmm. I think that's like been something I've been trying to figure out. And I think my group and I have like a pretty chill workflow now. And we're like, because I understand as a creative, like, I hate being rushed. Mm-hmm. Let me create the art in peace. And sometimes editing takes a fuck ton of time. But then, you know, business deadlines, you know, you got to turn this in. You got to do this before this. So I'm always like, okay, dude, you technically have 3 weeks. But just, I know you can get it done in 2. He's like, yeah, that's easy. But thank you for giving me, like, you know, it's yeah. like, I would always try to like, I try to marry both, like I don't know, I try to find compromise between both sides, because I understand the business and I understand the creative. So it's always just, I don't know, just a bunch of mixing and like figuring out what's right and what's wrong and like what I can do better as well. And I think just running around and just having all these experiences is just like, I don't know, it's opening my eyes to a lot of things I didn't know, but at the same time, it's confusing the fuck out of me.
Mm-hmm. That's a learning process. Yeah.
So do you speak English and Korean?
Yeah, and Mandarin.
And Mandarin.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because you're, were you born?
I was born here, mm-hmm. And then I went to Korea when I was 15.
Got it.
And then I'm Chinese. Mm-hmm. So, and then I got the opportunity to go to China last year, and I was all like, cool, I've always wanted to go, and I wanted to like learn about my culture, mm-hmm. and learn to speak the language, because my mom only speaks Mandarin, mm-hmm. and I don't, so I have like this I think I had this distance with her, and it was just because of the language barrier. And, you know, like, I'm typical, like, second generation kid. Like, mom, why can't you learn English? Blah, 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 blah. I hate you. But then it's like, I think going to Korea, it really humbled me too. And it, like, because my whole career has been in a language that I don't speak fluently. Mm. So kind of understanding how my mom, when she flew to America and she was taking care of me and my sister and my dad, like, and she can't communicate. So like that was like me being in Korea, and then I was like, you know what, the opportunity I have, I'm gonna just learn as much Mandarin as I can, so I can like talk with her. And now I can talk to her with almost no English. So it's pretty great.
Wow. But how did you get from, I guess, here to like starting in K-pop and stuff then?
I was scouted. I was just at it's called Changta. It's like a little festival in K-town that they have. I was just like standing around. I just followed my friends there, and then someone tapped me on the shoulder and was like, "Hey, would you like to audition for SM Entertainment?" And I was like,
okay. I'd be like, "Is this real?"
Like, are you sure? Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those things from like a K-drama where it's like the girl's just walking around and the talent scout just happens to see and then...
Yeah.
I'd be so flattered. I'd be like, "Oh, me?" Oh, I mean, you know,
like, no. It was really, because like I at that time I was getting into like more Asian music. Mm-hmm. So like I did know the label, and I was just like, oh, that's me. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. And I think at that time I think this was perfect timing. I was fed up with school because I had one bad experience with the teacher, because for some reason on my outline I didn't press the space bar or the enter so that like my bullet points looked like paragraphs, and she gave me a C, and I'm like, I never get C's.
Yeah.
So I literally went to her. I was like, so if I pressed enter here and made a new bullet point, I would have gotten an A. She's like, yes. I'm like, how does that make sense? So I don't know. That just like, I've always been the perfect student, well behaved. I listen to people. I don't fight. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck school.
I'll go there.
It's better. And that came out. I'm like, Dad, Mom, please, like, I will work as hard as I can. My dad compromised with me. Was like, okay, if you get straight A's, you can go. Mm-hmm. So I was like, easy, done. So I was able to go.
Wow, you could just do that? Is it get straight A's, you can go? I cannot do that. If they said get straight A's, you can go, I would be fucking staying here. I'm like, on my B's and my C's.
One thing I'm very confident was like just studying.
Oh my God.
Because technically, like, I think that was kind of hard for me to adjust to. Like, when you're so by the book, again, like, I don't question things. So I just read. Do the test, get the A, done. But I couldn't really think outside of the box. And I think when I went to K-pop, I think that's what kind of... I still was in that mentality. I practiced every day. I followed all the rules. And then I started feeling like, wait, this... There needs to be something more. So I think like the rebelliousness is, I think, gone unchecked for the past couple, like for that whole decade. And then the past like 3 or 4 years, I've just been like rebelling a little bit. And sometimes like in a not so healthy way, but it's like, okay, how do I become healthy about my rebellious phase right now? That is going to now be my 30s.
I think the one difference between North American and like Asian talent is like in North America, I feel like talent are the ones calling the shots in terms of like, oh, I want to do this. It's like the agency, the managers are all very much there to deal with the talent's ego. It's like, oh yeah, Mr. Streamer, or yeah, Mr. Musician kind of deal. Whereas in K-pop, is it like the vibe is pretty much the label's in charge, or do you guys have input?
So this is the way that I have seen most of it go, is that you start really young and you debut young. So you're listening to the adults, and you don't have input. You keep doing stuff. And if you make it big, and if you have that personality that is a little bit more opinionated, and they can't help but listen, they will listen. Mm. But if you are not someone they like or favored, they might not care. they might not ever listen to you. They might just shelve you. They might just, you know, let you do whatever, but never really care about it. I've had friends who've been stuck in contracts for years and can't do anything. It's just due to, it's like, you know, like politics in the industry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, there's like, I'm fortunate because I had success. Like, we were the number one girl group. We had a lot of opportunities and people knew who we were. But then I think having a lot of my friends that, like, we've cried together, we've, like, trained together, we've, went to some random place because we couldn't go back to our dorms just to, like, hide, you know, like, and then them getting, like, really fucked in their contracts. I don't know. It's just, like, I think the more that I, like, think about it, it's just if the business people like you, they will listen to you. Mm-hmm. But you also have to get to a certain point until they listen to you, you know?
Yeah.
It's like when your money's threatened, what are you going to do? You're going to protect it.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because it's like, at some point, it's like, do you need them or do they need you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always figured, like, in Asia, it's very much like, we own you, or like, what are you going to do? Like, go off by your own? And I think a lot of people would be scared of that.
But I think you would also be surprised that there is a lot of that here too. Like, it's not like in the, like, long-term things, but there are a lot of, like, our industry is just, like, entertainment as a whole is just, I feel like we have the same problems as everybody else. It's just like, you know, with a mask on that, like, everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the big misconception that, you know, with the entertainment industry. But yeah, it still is very much dirty. There are a lot of really weird things going on. People are getting hurt. Sometimes, you know, artists, they can't sue. Like, Amber, just sue them. Oh, like, so-and-so sue them. Lawsuits aren't easy. Like, mm-hmm. I remember being down high six figures because of a lot, like, lawyers. And it's like, okay, when you get into a lawsuit, then what happens? Litigation. Then you get charged by the hour, and litigation goes on for years. So it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just got to save the money that you have, that you made, and then you just have to just bite your tongue and wait it out. But luckily, you know, I have met a lot of people, and I have, like, a good team of people now, just, like, really, like, there are so many times where I could have sued somebody for something. You can sue anybody for anything, technically.
Well, then.
Technically. But, you know, like, oh, man, okay, that deal, hypothetically speaking, just like, oh, I lost that 10 grand. Like, they're never going to pay me. Just whatever. You, like, really have to, like, it's a lot of, like, man, that 10 grand could have, like, helped, like, my parents, or, like, I could have given it to a friend, or, like, I could have invested into my own more music. But it's just like, you know what? It's either lose the 10 grand now or be 100 grand down from a lawsuit. So, you know what? And there's been a lot of it. I'm, like, getting better, and we're getting a lot, like, I've been doing a lot better in, like, being patient and, like, understanding, okay, before I ever enter in a deal, this is what I need, like, my check marks, this is what I need to vet. Because, you know, new cool things always pop up, and it's like, okay, we should all do this. But I think that's the scary side of the entertainment industry.
Yeah. Like, esports is still relatively new, and you do hear a lot of those horror stories, especially with the professional esports players, because I guess similar to, like, K-pop's, like, talent that's being scouted, they're, like, children who got popular playing video games online, very little social skill, very little business awareness, and here comes an esports org or offer them, like, a contract to play video games, and it's like, they're not gonna read it, they don't know any lawyers, they don't have the money to get a lawyer. Mm-hmm. All they see is, like, oh, I get paid $80,000 a year to play League of Legends for you, and it's like a 2-year contract, and they sign it, and suddenly, oh, they can't do anything else, they have to listen to that work, the buyout clause is like $1 million that they can't afford, they don't know who to talk to, and it's definitely getting better. I think the nice thing about esports is because it's so young that these shitty behaviors, they last like two or three years, and then they get discovered and people like call them out for it, and mm-hmm. it's relatively easy to change. Whereas like in acting or music, like these kind of predatory behavior is deep rooted. It's just, it's really hard to change because the old people, they're still making the decision. They're still like, well, that's the way it's done.
Yeah.
But with esports, it's new, so there's less laws, but it's easier to change because it's not as built into the culture.
I feel like with anything in like especially like Twitch, a lot of like Twitch and like the esports world, it's so active on Twitter, so there's always this conversation. But a lot of these, like as you said, it's like deep rooted in like music and in movies. It's not like everybody talks about the next like big movie or the next big song coming out, or you know what's hot on TikTok right now. But no one, there's no like centralized like communication
discussion.
So, and I think going to like what you said about like young kid getting signed and they just don't know anything, like I think with artists too, it's just like, oh, we get our big publishing deal, we get like, oh, this big bonus or something, or and it's like, ah, money, okay, and I go blow it on stuff. Or it's like you forget taxes, you forget like expenses, and like, oh yeah, by the way, like you have, yeah, we're gonna give you 80 grand, but you also have like 60 grand in expenses that you need to recoup. So it's always like, it's, I think it's just kind of sad that even as a kid, I think if I was told that type of stuff when I was 16, I think I still wouldn't have cared. I was like, yeah, just sign the contract. Let's just do it, you know? But I think hopefully now, I think as like Twitter or like, you know, like even though there's, I think the open discussion that everybody has and like the news that people are seeing on the internet, I think people can be more prepared. Like, yeah, of course. Like, I think if I didn't sign with my group that time, I would not have learned things that I know now. And I'm very grateful for that experience. And I think it's also just keeping this healthy mentality that like, okay, my deal will definitely suck right now, but it's to, you know, further my future. And I know that I want to keep doing this. So, but in the end, like you have to think like artists and content creators need to think like business people as well. It's like, even though they're making content, like we're emotional, right? Who isn't? But when it comes down to it, okay, this is the business that I want to run. And you have to also learn how to compromise and also know when people aren't going to be compromising. So when to like bite your tongue. So yeah, it's hard, and there's never a right answer, but at least like, it's interesting, like how, like even though we're on different parts of the entertainment field, it's still very similar in a lot of the good and the bad.
One thing I hate is always the middlemen, the agents coming in with it. Okay, I get 10% for this, and my manager gets 10%. Like, I always think about it because, like, a game company would have a game, and they would want me, the streamer, to play it. Before it reaches me, they have an agency, and they're taking 10%. And then, to reach out to me, they have to go to another agency, and they're taking their 10%. And then, before it reaches me, my manager comes in with the 5%. So just like that, 25% of the budget is gone just for the deal to even hit my table. And then there's, of course, taxes, and then I have to pay my editors to do it. And at the end of the day, I'm left with like 30% of the payment. But that's just how it works. Like when I ask, this is kind of stupid, why not just give me the money, that why can't I just work with the publisher? And so it's like, well, it's easy for the publisher to work with the agency. That's just how it's done. And I imagine it's similar to like Hollywood, was just, by the time it reaches the actor, like half the money's gone because of agencies, fees,
managers and everything.
Like, but that's showbiz for you.
Well, I think it's that, I think the conversation is a lot more, like, I think it's easier to have. Like, I think I like having my manager there because he, I don't know why, maybe why, like, when people approach artists, because, like, people always want to go directly to the artist mm-hmm. because they want to sell it to the artist that they can make them this deal.
Right.
But my manager, I've had so many trust issues with that. So I'm like, I need my manager there with me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I will give him his percentage because I know he's protecting me.
Yeah.
And I know that he will fight for a better deal, or like make sure that he knows that this is like something that I'm not, like, he's unbiased, you know, like, yeah, he can make his money, but luckily, you know, he's a great guy. So he's just going to be all like, Amber, I don't think you need to make money on this one. This is, if you want to do it, you can, but these are the pros, these are the cons, up to you. But his vote is no. I'm like, cool, got it. I'll still do it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think, like, I think that's what's always scary. I want my team there, because I think in the end, when we do work with brands or we have collabs or something, it's our face, you know? And I, like, I know I sound like kind of diva-ish when I say this, but it's like, I'm like, I don't want to do this because it's my face. Like, yeah. I don't want to, like, just like have them plaster my face everywhere. That's not what I'm in this for.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and people are always like telling me, why don't you do one-off deals? And I'm like, because I think my way of, I think building relationships with like brands or people is actually more long-term rather than like, okay, let's just do one collab and like make a viral video, done. But I think it's just always, I think people are always just focused on how much money you made. Okay, correction, Amber team probably made that, but the people in the Toast team, probably like there's like 5-6 people that you have to pay out when you get like a so-and-so check.
Mm-hmm.
But then people are always again focused on like, oh, but Toast made so-and-so much money.
Right.
You know, he must be rich and he must be like, you know, great. Oh, like, oh, he must have bought that. Oh my gosh, he's so rich, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to make up their own stories about it. Like I went broke 4 years ago, four or five years ago. And people think because I'm in a successful girl group that like I'm swimming in the money and like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm living a lavish life, you know, that was very humbling. And I also saw like, wow, people just really wanted me because I was quote unquote rich, like, well, bro, I'm a broke ass artist, so good luck with that.
I mean, the Google estimates of like people's net worth are all like, someone told me the other day, they're like, hey, Broden, it says that he's 4 million. You guys pay him 4 million? I was like, I freaking wish we had 4 million. Hello? And then someone's like, oh, your net worth says you're like 2 million here. I'm like, oh, hello?
Yeah, because these, I'm sure these K-pop contracts, when they find these small young talent, they're not going to be like, you're going to make 2% of all the revenue.
Yeah.
Because they could just say, yeah, we'll pay you a salary.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They will agree to that. Because what, yeah, are you going to say? No.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but people think, oh, you're part of a K-pop group and you're one of 5 members. That means you get 20% of the income. Mm. It's like, no.
That,
no,
yeah, why, that's,
they
not,
don't
that's
have
not
to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I always feel like it's just, you know, people are going to believe what they want to believe.
Right.
You just got to really know who you are. And it's okay also not to know who you are at the same time. But also just like, I'm trying to learn, like, just not caring, but actually not caring.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think whether people want to believe you or stay your fan or, you know, become your hater, like that's their choice. I can't manage how they feel about me, but all I can do is manage how I feel about myself and what I can do for myself, yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Being independent is definitely very nice because you can, at the end of the day, like be okay with pushing some people away and like saying things you believe in. And I imagine if you're part of like a label or a group, they'll be like, hey, you can't say that, you can't, yeah, you know, do this. But when you're independent, you can be like, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. I can swear on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move to the weekly viewer question. Everyone's favorite segment of the podcast. Every week we answer two questions from our OTV subreddit. Today we have Simply Binger, who says, what is your advice to those who are moving away from the home country, starting a new journey in a new place with no close relatives or friends nearby? Ooh, that is scary.
Wait, that was all of us, right?
Well, I was famous already when I moved here, so I knew I would make friends no matter what. But put yourself in the shoe of a regular. I know that's hard for you, Yvonne.
I also had friends when I moved here. When you put yourself in the shoe of a
okay,
regular.
There I are said regular that was all of us at one point.
You are there. Not putting yourself in the shoes of a regular. Well, you're like, I was famous when I was here.
Can you put them together in more podcasts? Yeah, this is great.
I can't believe you told me to be more normal when you just said I'm famous.
I don't know the plight of the suffering of the common man. I don't put myself above them, but I recognize
you
my
are
place. Above them. But no, that's
did he
hard.
Just say that?
What? This is how society works. I am merely a cog in society's wheel. Okay? I didn't choose to be put on this pedestal. But man, that is hard. I don't... Like, even when I moved to, like, a different city for school, I had friends who were going to the same school. But to go to a brand new country... With no friends, no family. It's like, all right, go make some friends. It's like, ooh.
Oh, I think the first piece of advice is to become, just be toast. You know, just be toast.
If you're famous, people want to be your friend. That's how you solve your friendless issue. But other than that, I don't know.
You just probably do, you put yourself in situations where you can make friends, if that's okay with you. Yeah. Like, join clubs or activities type of things to kind of meet people of similar interests. And I think that's a very easy way to...
Is that what you did, Yvonne? You joined a club?
Well, in gaming, it's like I played League all the time and I met people on League. I made friends on League, and then that was like
but
how...
you're a girl. A girl in League? Guys are going to want to be friends with you. I, again, am merely explaining society's thought. I support women. But if you're
stop
a girl...
Stop talking to me.
If you're a girl in League of Legends, guys are going to want...
It can apply to anything. It can apply to sports. Like, you want to join... If you want to play basketball, go to, like, a freaking leisure center or join, like, an after... Like, a freaking random recreation team. And then you'll meet people there. Whether you're a girl or a guy, you can do that. It's activity-based.
Again, are you speaking from experience?
Well, my friends also joined like recreation teams, and that's how they made friends too.
So you're not speaking from experience.
I did it through gaming for the past like how many billion years? I also did it through badminton, by the way. I used to show up at badminton at the courts, going by myself.
Okay.
And then I met friends there who like just people I would see often. I just asked them to play, and we just end up playing.
How long ago was this?
Grade 7.
Okay.
But it's like the same idea where you're putting yourself in. Like, I went alone. I could have been in like freaking the States and done the same thing. But it's scary, yeah.
Amber, do you have any experience with this?
I think same with Yvonne. It's kind of like I used to always go to this one cafe to like chill and like listen to music, and you just kind of see the same people there, and then you just kind of like make conversation and just kind of. It's very natural. Same thing like with skateboarding too. Like I would go to like to skateboard at like 2 a.m. and I just met friends there, and then we just kind of vibed with skateboarding. But I think like another big piece of advice is just to like use technology the best you can. Because I remember when I moved to Korea, video like FaceTime was not a thing. And I had no really way of calling home very easily, but now I think it's so easy to just, if you're missing your family, you know, just take advantage of that. And, one thing that I did do was, all my friends, in high school, they like gave me like these care packages. So I actually still have this one Band-Aid. Two of my friends gave me a Band-Aid and wrote, "This is for your boo-boo so that you can suck it up." And I still have that Band-Aid. It's like,
that's a good one to keep.
It's fucked up, but I still have it. But like kind of having like a shoebox of memorabilia is always nice to kind of look back on just to like, cause I definitely had an identity. I definitely still have an identity crisis, but back then it was very much like, I don't know what I like. I don't remember anything from home. Like, so, take advantage of technology, shoebox of memories, go outside and be toast.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's pretty
perfect.
Much it. Next question. Voodoo One, do you feel like the world is too loud or too quiet? For me, definitely too loud, especially on social media when people tweet at me their opinions. And it's like, I don't care about your opinion. I'm here to tweet stuff, get engagements, reply to my friends, like promote my shit. And sometimes I tweet stuff and people reply with like their opinion, and I wouldn't read it, but I know it's happening because like I can see the amount of replies to it that goes up to 200. And like, this is a one-way street. You giving me your opinion, it's not that I don't care, for the record. It's just like it's Twitter. I'm not there to read the opinion of Twitter users.
You know, someone's been trying to invite us to their friend's wedding for like months now.
Oh.
They just always tweet, hey, Yvonne and Toast, you're their favorites. Can you come to this wedding? And I get like an update every month that, hey, their wedding's happening soon.
How do you know? Have you seen the tweets?
I mean, I see it in my mentions sometimes.
Bro, now they're going to keep tweeting now that you talked about it. You can't let... Here's the trick with fans. You can't let them know that you see what they're writing.
Sometimes.
No, all the time.
Selective reading.
Selective reading.
Yeah.
No, selective mentioning.
Yes.
We do read it. It's just selective mentioning.
I just happened to read that one. Okay, that was like the odd one. I'm never going to read them ever again.
So. Yeah. Sometimes when I'm streaming and I read out a question from chat and answer it, suddenly 100 questions comes in. It's like, oh, he's reading questions today. Let me type mine in. It's like, what's your favorite dish? What's the thing you most miss about living in Asia? I'm like, no, it's a one-way street. I'm on stage performing. You sit in that seat and you enjoy my content. And then maybe there's a Q&A session at the very end where you can ask your question.
Yeah. I always feel like, I always do this thing now where I just like don't, I look at stuff. I do read some of it and then I just like, I'm getting overwhelmed. I need to like go to the studio. Cause like, I think there is always, people always want to say their stuff, but it's kind of like, is my opinion actually necessary? Like, you know, let's just have a good time. Let's like have fun and chill. Like there's no, like, I feel like with social media, it is super loud. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've chose to kind of just like distance myself. I'll tweet out like some cute puppy photos sometimes, or just like, oh, I went to buy a boba or something. But other than that, like, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
I'm too busy.
When you're touching grass, it's nice. You don't really, you know, go to social media too much. In fact, you forget about it a little bit. You don't even check it as often. Mm-hmm. You're kind of just like outside, walking around, soaking some vitamin D. Feels good. You should try sometime.
No, I need to work.
Okay.
I need
I mean, like, I'm also working. I vlog when I go out. So it's like, that's like working.
Okay. I have boxes to break down downstairs. So I need to work as well.
Yeah. I should invite Amber to one of our unboxing. But not even have her in the video.
No, I just want to just break into the boxes. Yeah.
We should have a Amber cam and then she'll just be like,
yeah, you'll just see her off in the corner and one of the comments can be like, is that fucking Amber Lou in the corner breaking box?
Guys, you missed the bubble wrap. Can you pass me the bubble wrap? Yeah. Thanks. I don't want to go on camera. Just pass me the bubble wrap. I need to like put that away.
That would be
am I seeing that correctly?
But yeah, what about you, Yvonne? Too loud or too quiet?
I don't really know what this question means. Like, is it in...
It's a very open form.
What does it mean to you?
Yeah. It's like, is it too loud or is it too quiet?
If I had to pick one right now in terms of, like, life, then it's too loud. But, like, I imagine if I was in, like, freaking back in Canada, it'd be too freaking quiet. But, like, because I'm here, because in LA, everything feels very loud. Like, everyone's busy and grinding and everything, and there's so much... everywhere, all so much people everywhere. I'd say it's probably more too loud than everything like that. Why are you looking at me like that?
No, I agree with you. It's definitely too loud.
Okay. Yeah. You're looking at me like you're just judging me.
No, I'm not judging you.
Are you sure? That's just your resting judging face?
As you can see, Amber,
yes.
Yvonne is very like prone to defensiveness, even though I was just looking at her and she started giving a whole...
But he trained me this way. You know that's like... I don't do that with just anyone. It just
all I did was look at you and listen to what you're saying.
You guys are like siblings. You guys are just fighting and bickering. It's like, it's
because she acts endearing. Like a child.
Okay, and you don't act like a child at times? Are you
all
serious?
All I did was look at you and listen to the things you're saying.
You are the most hypocritical person ever. Someone, rewind it back to the very beginning of this podcast. What did you say again? What did you do?
What did I say?
I don't know, but rewind it.
Yvonne, you can't just say, I don't know what you did, but you offended me.
Get the clue. I have short-term fish brain. It comes with age. Never mind. Let's just, where are we at?
Yvonne, what are you saying right now? Outro?
Outro.
Outro?
Wait, can we set up like a box? Like, you know how there's like a lot of these like content creator boxing matches?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Can we do it with like you two? But like, well, might have put a half, put a handicap a little mm-hmm. bit. But I think it'll be fun to just see you guys like.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah. That would be fun.
And so I would not hold back. I would beat the shit out of
him. How much of a handicap are we talking? No arms.
No arms for him. Oh wait.
No, how about? I'm so excited when you say that.
Have you guys done those you know bouncy suits where like it's like you're in a hamster ball and it's like it's like and you guys just charge at each other? That'd be really
sumo suits.
Yeah.
No, do the hamster ball.
I'm down for the hamster ball. Do we get like a weapon too? Can I get a bat?
Well, you can't hold it. You're in the hamster ball.
Yeah, you're in the hamster ball.
We don't have like arms.
No.
You're like in the hamster ball.
Completely a ball.
Oh.
Or maybe like one day like you guys can just get like a pinata of each other and then just whack it.
That'd be great. That's actually like therapy.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So it's not technically like, you know, you're not getting hurt by like hitting, by her hitting your pinata. You're just, your pinata is getting fucked up.
We should have darts with the face as the bullseye.
That's going to do it for this week's podcast. Thank you so much, Amber, for coming on.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Do you have any projects coming up that people can look out for?
My latest album is called Z. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, and any other streaming platform. And that's basically it.
Yeah, please check it out and check her out. Like, all the work she's done, it's all very cool. I've been listening for a while. I try not to say it because I don't want to come off as like a cringe fanboy like Yvonne usually does.
Hey, I do not. Don't
you embarrassed us in front of Matt Stone and Ryan Higa.
What? I did not embarrass us, okay? Also, I played it cool.
We did a YouTube collab yesterday with this competitive eater, and Yvonne pulled out.
Wait, Matt Stone, like the
yeah.
Well, I love him. He's so cool.
He remembered me. He knew who I was back then.
Oh God, you brought it up to him.
I was like, look, do you remember this? He's like, oh no, I actually remember this, and he even told like Kevin that he remembered it too. What?
Is this our usual dynamic? Is this how?
Unfortunately, yes.
Very unfortunate.
All right, thank you all so much for watching, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.